I have here the typed outline of my homily, the one I prepare every week, which I preach from. But over the last couple days, I have been feeling the Lord say to me that I should preach a different homily than the one that I have prepared here. I replied back and said, well, Lord, don't you know how hard I've worked on this prepared text? I was down at St. Joseph's in Fullerton this afternoon hearing confessions at the Catholic Men's Fellowship Conference. And in confession after confession, I kept hearing what I was planning to address in this new homily the Lord was speaking to me, brought up in the confession, as things people were struggling with. And so as I drove up Blair Road, I rewrote my homily and scratched it out on the back of this paper when I got home. So all of that introduction is by way of warning you, this might be a bumpy ride, so you better buckle up a little bit. The first part of tonight's gospel may have been a little confusing for you, maybe a little strange. What is all of this about the blood of the sacrifices and Pilate and the Tower of Siloam falling on people? What was that all about? Well, both of those things were current events stories at the time of Jesus. They were tragedies that had happened. And the people were coming to Jesus and saying, you know, do you know about these tragedies? They were things that people were talking about. And we hear in the gospel that Jesus is very much aware of these tragedies. And he's very much aware of the concerns that the people have about them. A lot like in the first reading, where God tells Moses that he hears the cry of his people, that he hears their cry in their slavery in Egypt. God is aware of what's happening to his people. God is aware of the tragedies that happen in our world. God is aware of the concerns that each of us have in our lives. And it seems like over the last 2 years or so, we've sort of been moving from crisis to crisis, concern to concern. We had the pandemic and then the election and then the pandemic came back again and then the Omicron variant came. And now we have this situation in Ukraine and a war in Europe. And this situation in Ukraine has been very bothersome to a lot of people. Maybe it's been bothersome to all of you. We don't know what to make of it. We don't know what we can do about it. And for many people, it's causing them to be angry. It's causing them to be angry at the Russian leader, at the Russian people, causing them to be angry by the seeming lack of action by our government or our government leaders, feeling angry that there's nothing that we can do. And feeling frustrated at that. It's even bringing back a lot of these the political differences and wounds that we have in our country. And we're taking political sides about who is and who is not president. And all of these reactions to this situation are really doing a lot of damage to us. Why are we reacting in such a way? What benefit is there to reacting like this? Well, the answer, of course, is that there is no benefit. There's no benefit in getting angry or becoming vengeful or spiteful. There's no benefit into damaging our own peace and our relationship potentially with God. As you are probably aware, if you've been with us through the season of Lent thus far, our Lenten homily series is called To Know Jesus and Make Him Known. And that is our parish mission statement. We're reflecting on that parish mission statement this Lent. And On the first Sunday, we talked about what it means to know Jesus, that Jesus is a real person that we can know, that we can enter into a relationship with. Last Sunday, we talked about what it means to make him known, that's the primary mission of the church in the 21st century, is to take the name of Jesus and the message of the gospel beyond the walls of this church and the confines of this campus. But to know Jesus and make him known is more than just a slogan. It's something that has real implications in our everyday lives. And if we're really knowing Jesus, if we really know him, and we're really striving to make him known, I think it can help us address the difficulties and tragedies that we encounter in our lives. If we really know Jesus and we really desire to make him known, then we approach our entire world, everything that happens to us, from this lens of our faith. So I would like to take our mission statement, our Lenten homily series, and apply it to this situation in Ukraine. What does it mean to know Jesus and to make him known in this particular situation? Well, first of all, to know Jesus means that we look at every situation of our lives from this lens of faith. So we realize that when we get angry or upset about this situation, it's ultimately not helpful. So we have to turn the situation to look at it from the lens of our faith. How are we reacting to this situation as people who believe in Jesus, as people who have a real relationship with him? It's not to get angry or bitter or seek revenge. No, it's something very different. There's a better way to react. And the better way to react is to look at our sphere of influence, to look at what we can do. We can't change who the president of Russia is. We can't physically help people in Ukraine as much as we would desire to do that. We can't change the outcome of the election in this country. We can't do that. That's not in our sphere of influence. So if we look at our sphere of influence, what can we do? What does our faith tell us we should do? First of all, we should pray. And perhaps that might sound trite. It's sort of our answer to everything. But we do believe that prayer is real, and prayer changes things. We should be praying every day for the people of Ukraine, for those who have died, for the refugees, those who are suffering. We should pray every day for the conversion of heart of the Russian leader. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, on Friday of next week, March 25th, the Feast of the Annunciation of the Lord, is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That means he's going to pray a special prayer to sort of carve out, you might say, a special place in Mary's heart for those two countries, Mary, our mother, and ask her in a particular way to intercede for them. And he's asked every parish and every Catholic throughout the world to join him in that prayer next Friday. Specifically, he's asked us all to pray the Rosary for Peace next Friday as he makes this consecration of Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We'll be doing that after the daily Mass here at St. Mark. You can certainly do that at home with you and your family, to pray in a particular way to Our Lady, to ask her for peace. And I would suggest that we be praying the Rosary every day, asking Our Lady for peace in our world. In addition to prayer, there's also fasting. Fasting is a very powerful spiritual discipline. We're used to fasting on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday in our current tradition, but we can fast anytime. It can be from food like we do on Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, or it could be from other things that we enjoy. We could fast from our electronic devices. We could fast from social media. We could fast from television. And when we in our fasting feel the desire to turn on the TV or pick up the phone, in that moment, pray for that intention that you have for peace, for the people of Ukraine, for those who have died. Fast and offer up that small amount of suffering in your life for those who are suffering greatly. Then there's almsgiving, that traditional Lenten discipline. An alm is an offering that we give to the poor. And almsgiving in the season of Lent could be for the people of Ukraine, for the international organizations that are helping them. It's a way that we can help within our sphere of influence those who are doing good there. I think of St. Michael's Ukrainian Catholic Church down in the city on Eastern Avenue. They have a very strong outreach there and are collecting supplies and all sorts of things to send to Ukraine to help their folks there. And then the final thing that we can do in our own sphere of influence, I think, is really what the second part of today's gospel is about the fig tree, that the fig tree has to produce fruit. The last thing that we can do is to focus on our own personal conversion, to focus on the areas of our lives that need to be converted to God, to undergo that repentance and conversion that this season is calling us to, that we can be agents of peace, yes, in the world, but in our own particular circles, maybe at work or among our families. So undergo that conversion of heart. The fig tree is meant to produce fruit, obviously. We as Christians are meant to produce fruit. And in order to do that, or in order to do that more abundantly, we have to be converted. We have to turn our hearts back to the Lord. And ultimately, that's also a way that we make Jesus known. We make Jesus known by converting our hearts, that when we react in a certain way to situations, it might get other people's attention. When we call for prayer or fasting, when somebody else is calling for vengeance or war, that's a way of making Jesus known in our world. So my brothers and sisters, as we journey through this season of Lent on this third Sunday, as we look at all of these things that are going on in our world, we remember that we do indeed want to know Jesus and make him known. And that really has real life, real world consequences. So let's try in this week and throughout the season, in our own particular sphere of influence, to know Jesus and to make him known.